Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'd like to rent the DVDs of Oceans 11 and 13. You can keep 12. It was terrible.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here with Jamie, also not a big fan of number 12.
Yeah.
They had the egg the whole time.
Okay, I wasn't going to spoil it, but yeah, it was the whole movie was pointless, but those are some of my favorite. There's so many good Vegas movies. Between that, The Hangover, Swingers.
I've only seen a third of everything you just said. Only seen Oceans out of all of those.
We need to spend... You haven't seen The Hangover? It's an all-time classic comedy.
Between all the TikTok things I've seen on it, I've probably watched 30%.
The first one, again, totally worth it. After that, kind of fell off. But today we have a story about a casino. It's just not as witty as Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Well, why don't you get the ball rolling?
We're going to talk about one of the most daring and destructive extortion attempts in American history.
Talk to me like I'm five and tell me what extortion means.
Yeah, so extortion, think about blackmail. You're trying to get somebody to give you money in exchange for doing or not doing something that's probably illegal.
I think I might extort people every day.
I think I do that every day. So this is August 26, 1980, when there was a quiet morning at Harvey's Resort Hotel and Casino in Stateline, Nevada. And then that morning was shattered when three men dressed in white jumpsuits and posing as delivery workers wheeled in what appeared to be a copy machine. But it wasn't a copy machine. Inside was nearly 1,000 pounds of pure dynamite.
I feel like I'm on the episode of The Office where they have the branch wars and they steal the copy machine.
Jim's wearing a mustache.
Yeah. But actually what followed was a very tense standoff between the casino's management, bomb experts, and the FBI. At the center of it all was a man, one man at the center of all of it. His name was John Burgess Sr. This man believed he could manipulate the system and profit through fear and destruction. But what we'll see, even the most meticulously planned crimes have their flaws. And sometimes those flaws have nothing but rubble in their wake.
And what I have in my mind is the beginning scene of Ocean's 11, or one of the early scenes when the older guy financing the operation tells him about all the people that have tried to rob casinos and failed. That's what's in my mind. But this day started like any other at Harvey's. The dealers were shuffling cards. People were filing into the slot machines. And you have that hum of activity, that buzz of energy around the casino floor. And then these three men rolled up in what looked like a giant office copier. But of course, this was a cover. The men even wore fake name tags, making it look like they were technicians delivering this thing. But there was nothing routine about what happened next. They maneuvered this large device into an executive office on the second floor, carefully making sure it was level, and then walking away.
This is crazy. I mean, what out of all the options you have in life to put a bomb in, they chose a copy machine they would have to wheel out onto the casino floor. I don't know. Why not just a duffel bag with a bomb in it?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that would have been... this was all about the cover, I think. Think Trojan horse.
Yeah, that's true. So they actually left behind a note, and this was a letter that was titled Stern Warning to the Management and Bomb Squad. And the note was meticulous. It spelled exactly the device's deadly capabilities. And it also left instructions, and it would say that any attempts to move, tilt, or disarm the bomb would trigger an explosion. Even the flathead screws holding the casing together were booby-trapped. Can I just also say that I think flathead screws should be a crime?
You think so?
I hate them.
All in on
so
Phillips?
Much. Okay. Yeah, actually, I'm a Torx guy now, but flathead's the worst.
Whatever gets you where you need to go. But this was not an empty threat. It was indeed a real bomb. Again, the creator was John Burgess Sr., and he claimed it was undefeatable, a doomsday device that nobody, not even him, could safely disarm without the proper instructions. It sounds like this is a foolproof plan.
And of course, what bomb left in a casino doesn't come with a list of demands, right? So his demands were simple. I say that tongue in cheek. He wanted $3 million in cash. What year is this, Jamie?
Yeah, this is back in 1980.
Okay, so that makes sense. I was thinking it was newer. So,
well, it's like Austin Powers.
$1 million.
Everybody laughs at him.
So if that wasn't enough, it had to be delivered via helicopter to a designated drop site. And any deviation from this plan and the bomb would turn Harvey's casino into a crater.
Yeah, so who was John Burgess? He was not really a criminal mastermind, not in the traditional sense. He was a Hungarian immigrant who had fled the chaos of World War II and come to America. But after settling in California, he developed a dangerous addiction to gambling.
Yeah, he would frequent casinos around Lake Tahoe. He would pour his earnings into the machines and tables, and Harvey's Resort Hotel was his particular vice. Over time, he lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, leaving him just pissed off. He was bitter, and he was desperate to get that money back. That desperation led to a plan that was reckless as it was destructive. Burgess believed the casino owed him money, so this whole plot was his way of kind of sticking it to the man and trying to get some of that money back.
And he didn't do it all alone. He had pulled in his two sons and a few other friends to work as accomplices. Obviously, there were three people that took this in here. And together, they built the bomb piece by piece using dynamite that they had stolen and mechanical triggers that they had taken from a construction site. It was like a Frankenstein's monster of a bomb device, which, I mean, sounds horrifying, but at the same time, doesn't sound like it's going to hold together very well. The monster wasn't exactly a work of art.
That's true, man. And these authorities, God bless them. I mean, they arrived and they looked at this bomb, and you could see its extensive network of triggers, and it had sensors all over it. I mean, every move they made was a gamble itself. So the decision was made to X-ray the device, and they were hoping to understand the internal structure without setting it off. But even with that information, the danger was undeniable. I mean, this thing was, it's like they rolled a bomb into the middle of the casino.
Well, they did find a possible solution, and it was a shaped charge of C4 that they identified. And the idea was to sever the steel boxes that were making up the bomb, thus disconnecting the detonation mechanism from the dynamite inside. It was a long shot, and it was dangerous, but at this point, it's really the only option they had. And you don't want to just sit there and wait for people to die. I'm sure they've evacuated the place. This is a very tense situation.
So on August 27th, the evacuation was completed. The casinos and surrounding buildings were emptied, leaving the once busy streets very, very silent. And with nerves of steel, the bomb squad prepared to detonate the shaped charge. So what happened?
The plan failed.
How so?
The bomb exploded, sending shockwaves throughout state line Nevada. The force was so powerful, it tore a massive five-story crater into Harry's casino.
Was the bomb squad there working on it? Like, did they die?
I'm getting to it. Calm down. You could really see debris raining down, TVs with cords on them, plumbing fixture. But in the midst of all this destruction, nobody was hurt at all. The evacuation had worked, and even with the catastrophic damage, every single person inside had made it out safely before being caught in the horrific wake of this bomb.
Well, and police found Burgess. They recognized he had a very clear motive. Again, he felt like he was owed a lot of money because he had dropped hundreds of thousands of dollars in this casino. His sons, who had helped him build the bomb, they ultimately cooperated with authorities in exchange for some leniency in their charges and sentencing. And in 1981, John Burgess Sr. was convicted of extortion, conspiracy, and destruction of property. So while no one was hurt, I mean, This leveled the casino.
It did. And I mean, just think about all the other financial implications. Of course, that casino was gone, had to be rebuilt. Evacuating the buildings around it, losing money. Like, casinos are raking in money by the minute.
I was going to say, literally every minute.
The economic impact had to be huge. He ended up dying in prison in 1996, obviously never seeing any of the money he was trying to steal. But it's a cautionary tale for anybody who thinks they're smart enough to wield a bomb to get what they want.
Yeah. Well, don't go to casinos if you can't afford to lose the money, I guess.
Yeah.
Make a budget, stick to the plan, and if you have a problem, get some help.
If you haven't, go ahead and go watch Swingers. This has been a crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.